1208, this is WGN. Hi, it's John Williams. Ji Suki, whose voice you've heard for a long time in this slot, is moved to the 7 o'clock slot this evening. You'll hear Ji's bright and bubbly personality from 7 to 10 o'clock. Here on WGN, I invite you to tune her in. We've always enjoyed her company here, be it on the morning show, on the Wintrust Business Lunch, now 7 o'clock tonight. Here on WGN Radio, you hear my voice a little before noon, I hope between 9 and noon, and now all the way until 1 o'clock. Orion and Steve have been reminding you of green screen today. The numbers are up. The Dow's up, last I looked, like 30 seconds ago, 1,213 points. NASDAQ trading up 413. The S&P up 141 points. Maybe closer and near and dearer to you, the average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage with 0 points down is 3.96%, the average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. Nothing down, 3.96. That's up 8 basis points. Here's what that means. $100,000 mortgage payment of $459 has now gone up to $475, even though the Fed's lowered the rates. Actually, on mortgages, they've ticked up a little bit in the last couple of weeks, and you're paying on $100,000 of loaned money for your house, $475, where it was $459. The 10-year rate is at 3.61. The average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, 0 points, is 3.96. A couple of numbers that might be of interest to you. Some of the business headlines in Chicago include this one. Uber is halting its construction at the old post office for now. We've been watching that go up, and now it's going to stall. The San Francisco-based company announced last year that it signed a 10-year lease for 463,000 square feet in the long vacant old post office. Uber plans to consolidate its Chicago offices and hire 2,000 employees in the city over 3 years. They were going to move in this fall. They are halting their construction in the old post office for now. This is a headline from Yahoo. Massive small business rescue gets off to stormy start. That may not surprise you if you're a small business. Yahoo writes, not all banks are ready to start lending against the $350 billion federal relief program. And at Bank of America, just as a for instance, 15,000 applications came in the first hour. Many of the existing account holders were turned away as the Bank of America was prioritizing its loan process. That money is there. It's got to get to the banks. The bank's got to get it to you. And there's a bit of a bottleneck. At BOA, 15,000 applications last Thursday or Friday came in the first hour. What are we going to do on the show today? We'll visit with Jim Dahlke in just a couple of minutes, the senior editor at Chicago Inno. He's got a number of things to talk to us about, including a biotech-focused venture firm in Chicago, which has raised $1.5 billion over two new funds to invest in companies tackling COVID and other health challenges. That's a Chicago-based biotech venture firm. And also, he's on the topic of the coronavirus, which can be an especially challenging time for people dealing with obsessive-compulsive disorders. Another Chicago startup has created a telehealth app for OCD patients, and it's seen its users spike over the last month as people with OCD look for ways to manage their conditions during a stressful time. He's got more to say about that. All right, 1216, thank you for that, Lauren Lapka. Jim's ready to roll. Jim Dahlke is the senior editor at Chicago Inno. He's on a phone line right now. Jim, it's John Williams. How are you today?
Hey, John, I'm doing just great. How are you doing?
Good. I trust your weekend was safe and socially distanced, right?
Safe, socially distanced, and got signed up for just about every streaming service I possibly can. So, yeah, ready to rock and roll here for however long we're in this.
I was just looking at some of your notes for our conversation today. The coronavirus is actually a challenging time, you said, for people with OCD. How is the tech industry tackling that?
Yeah, so there's a startup in Chicago called NoCD. It's actually spelled letters N-O-C-D. And really what it did was it launched in 2015 really as this kind of telemedicine platform and resource for people who are dealing with obsessive compulsive disorder. And the coronavirus really presents a really stressful and really challenging time for people with OCD. Millions of Americans suffer from it. About 1 in 40 adults in the U.S. have OCD. And so, you know, now with everything that's going on with the coronavirus, it makes, kind of managing that condition very difficult. And what NOCD does is it provides this app that allows patients to connect with therapists one-on-one with video chats. And so they've been up and running for a few years, and just in the last month have seen their patients about double on their platform as people look for ways to kind of manage their ongoing OCD problems and connect with therapists in a non-traditional brick-and-mortar setting.
Do you suppose that video chat is really going to see a turning point after this virus has settled down?
I think so. I think, we're already starting to see that in a lot of instances. I think telemedicine is still kind of at the very early stages of its growth and will continue to be a bigger piece of kind of the overall healthcare industry, especially as, you know, the traditional healthcare players continue to adopt some of these new technologies. But, you know, as the coronavirus continues to hurt a lot of businesses and a lot of industries, I think telemedicine is one that is certainly kind of primed to see a lot of increase. And I don't think this is going to be a temporary thing, right? I think as more people get familiar with it, both on the healthcare side and on the user side, as more patients get comfortable accessing telemedicine, the usage is just going to continue.
Yeah, there's a technology barrier, but I think we're getting over that. We're not, but we are getting over it. But I've been hearing the last couple of weeks of people using Skype or Zoom, some sort of teleconferencing for general counseling and therapy, for people who are in 12-step programs, for people that are visiting with traditional, family physicians. I'm not sure if pharmacists are doing it, but it seems to me like anything you've been doing face-to-face, you almost could, to some degree, do over the phone, right?
Absolutely. And I think that those technologies are going to only get better. I think one thing that you're seeing right now, if you've been setting up kind of video chats with your friends and family, I know that I certainly have been doing that more, and, some technologies are better than others. Some are easier to use, some are a little more intuitive, a little more user-friendly, a little less kind of lag time with the video. And so I think as more people start to adapt these new technologies, whether it's connecting with their pharmacist, with their therapist, or with their friends and family, they're going to be winners and losers in this, and we're going to see companies really step up to provide this level of interface for folks. So, yeah, I would anticipate to see this kind of telemedicine trend really, really take off starting just about now.
I'm thinking rather than waiting in the doctor's office where I might be getting sick or just losing time because the doctor is behind, I could still be at home or at work or doing what I'm doing. And when I come up in the queue, bling, I'm looking at them, they're looking at me, and we have whatever conversation we need to have.
Exactly. And I think the other piece of this, too, is that it doesn't create that physical strain on the healthcare system, right? I mean, the problem we're seeing across the country is that, hospital staff, they're overwhelmed with the number of people that they're dealing with. So, if you can have a dedicated telemedicine team where people can get, consultations with doctors from their phone, from their house, rather than kind of flooding the doctor's offices, this is where we're going to really relieve this strain on the healthcare system and allow people to get care digitally and remotely before going into the hospital and kind of overwhelming the health system. So it's certainly a big thing right now, and I think it will continue.
We went down this path because we talked about NoCD. It's a Chicago app. Is it an app? Is that what it is? Or how do I access this?
It is, yes. So it is an app. So you can download it on iOS or Android and connect with hundreds of therapists. So they're licensed in about 20 states across the U.S. So they say they can reach about 80% of the U.S. population. And, people who have OCD, there's a couple of issues, right? So one issue is, they fear that they have the disease themselves. They're concerned that they are going to contract coronavirus. But then two, they're worried that they're going to give it to somebody that is immunocompromised. And so they're, you know, hyper concerned about passing it off to somebody who, you know, is not going to have the kind of the health system that they're going to be able to withstand it. So there's a couple of different main anxieties there that are really on people's minds. So this is just something to give a little bit of manage to their care and a little peace of mind and hope to kind of overcome some of those challenges.
There's on the hardware front, a Chicago hardware tech hub called M-Hub. What are you telling us about that?
Yeah, so M-Hub, a really interesting organization in Chicago, got off the ground three or four years ago. They are basically a tech hub for hardware startups in Chicago. So like if you're familiar with 1871 and the merchandise mart, that's really the digital hub for startups. M-Hub is really for those actual physical products. And you know what they're doing right now is they're doing a really interesting initiative where their members are making face shields for doctors and nurses and people who are really on the front lines of the coronavirus. So they're working with Northwestern Medicine right now, producing about 15,000 face shields a day. So face shields are part of this sort of protective, personal protective equipment that we keep hearing about, you know, along with the N95 masks and the other type of face equipment the doctors need. Face shields are an important piece of the equation as well. And so M-Hub is really kind of answering the challenge right now, getting a lot of their members to use the equipment that they already have in-house to spin up a bunch of these face masks and get them to the doctors and healthcare workers who need them the most.
They're not manufacturing them, though, right? Are they just acquiring and sending them off? I mean, what do they do?
Yeah, they're building them in-house. So M-Hub is, you know, it's this giant space. It's a former Motorola factory, actually, on the Near West Side. And, yeah, they are producing everything in-house. They've got all the kind of 3D printing machines, the laser cutting machines, all the technology to make these things. So they've got the materials. They're spinning them up in-house and then shipping them out to the healthcare workers. So they're starting with Northwestern Medicine and having some additional conversations with other local healthcare practices as well to determine kind of what the largest needs are. But yeah, a pretty cool local tech story. It's kind of a part of a bigger initiative that they have along with 1871 and a few of Chicago's other tech hubs to kind of bring their members together and bring their smartest folks in the room who you know have a desire to kind of help out and work together and sort of bring everybody together to create some really important technology and important PPE for some of these healthcare workers on the front lines.
Jim Dahlke is a senior editor at Chicago Innovation. Jim, you know, it's funny because this is an economic disaster for this country, but some of these companies that are in the right place or are nimble enough are probably going to profit from this as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that we're already seeing that, you know, whether that is a telemedicine app like NoCD, right? Some of these healthcare companies who are kind of positioned to succeed here. I mean, I think one thing that's really interesting is meal delivery. Starting to have some conversations with some Chicago meal delivery companies who kind of prepare, you know, ready-to-go meals as, you know, parents are home with their kids and, you know, they're working full-time at home and they're also sort of playing, you know, virtual teacher with their kids, right? And sort of helping them through their classwork. Putting meals on the table can be challenging right now, too. So we're seeing meal companies take off right now. I don't know if you're familiar, there's an app in Chicago called Cameo. It's an app that connects famous celebrities to fans. That app is just really taking off right now. So we certainly are seeing some areas where some companies are seeing actually quite a significant uptick in growth.
Yeah, my kids liked Cameo, and I didn't have much to do with it until Blagojevich got on there. And suddenly it had another day in the sun. Also in non-corona news, a streaming startup in Chicago for people who want to wager online. What's going on there?
Yeah, so there's a startup in Chicago called Phoenix, launched about 6 years ago, and they are working on live streaming technology. So they are helping media companies kind of send out faster streams. So one thing that's kind of frustrating if you are a regular streamer of sort of live video technology is that depending on the stream that you're watching, the speed that you're getting that feed varies wildly. Sometimes it can be a few seconds off the normal feed. Sometimes it can be minutes off the feed. And sort of what they're working on is a couple of different use cases. One is with traditional media. So they have one of their customers is ABC, for example. They worked with them during the 2019 Oscars to do some live streaming around the red carpet and some behind the scenes stuff. But One of their other use cases is with sports betting. So they can work with sports betting sites to provide the live streaming technology for their customers. And the reason why that's so important is because, you know, in sports gambling, live betting is a big piece of the puzzle there. And people are watching the feeds in real time and making bets as the game progresses. And if you're making a gamble in real time, you want that feed to be as fast as possible. So you want those latency issues to be as minimal as possible. So the faster your stream is, the smarter your bet can be in real time. And so they are working with some of those companies as well to provide the live streaming tech.
Yeah, I was laughing to myself because I was contemplating calling up my brother, asking him if he wanted to bet on the hockey game that we're going to broadcast this weekend. We've been doing the old playoff games for the Blackhawks. And I guess the point of that is that you really do have to be synced if you're doing real-time online wagering. There can't be any delay. Otherwise, somebody has an advantage somehow, it seems to me.
Exactly. And certainly if somebody's watching the broadcast in real time, they have the advantage too, right? So I think what Phoenix, this company, is hoping is that they can provide as near close to the you know, broadcast quality stream as possible. And yeah, they're a Chicago startup and just last week raised about $7.5 million in a new funding round. So clearly, you know, businesses who are in the right space and are backed by, you know, investors who see a potential in their technology are still getting funding. So it's not all doom and gloom out there right now.
Oh, I think the dust will settle on this. And when it does, sports and sports wagering will be waiting for us with open arms there. I think this is almost immune to long-term trouble. People love their sports and they love to bet on sports, right?
Certainly. And you do imagine, you know, it's too bad for the state of Illinois for all the sports gambling fans out there who got a couple of days of sports betting in before all the sports leagues shut down. But yes, sports gambling, legal sports gambling is a very fast-growing industry as state by states continue to legalize it. And Illinois is certainly one that's going to grow a lot.
I got 60 seconds, Jim. Can you just tell me what you're reading about Chicago employees in offices, maybe elsewhere around the country, but the tech sector is not hit with layoffs, or are they? What's going on there?
We are starting to see that. So early stage companies are certainly being affected by the coronavirus, and especially in, you know, travel, hospitality. We're starting to see layoffs, you know, in several industries, especially with companies who just, you know, maybe don't have more than 6 months of runway under their belt. Companies are already kind of making those early decisions that say, hey, we need to start to cut costs here to maintain as a business to continue for the long term. So it's something we are certainly seeing now as companies are beginning to shed a little bit of staff and sort of prepare for the long term here. But yeah, the layoffs have already started.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. We'll continue to monitor the markets. We're having a good day today. Thanks for your time today, Jim. We'll visit with you next Monday.
Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
12:34. Elise Glink joins us, as always, on WGN Radio. Elise, it's John Williams. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, John. There's a lot of excitement today going on out there in the business world.
You are the CEO of Best Money Moves. Why do you say that? What's all this excitement?
Well, for people who've been bemoaning the loss in their 401ks, today's market has rallied significantly. The Dow opened up nearly 1,200 points, and it has been about there, or even a little bit higher since.
We were over 29 when we started the fall, right? We got close to 20. So I'll take every 1,000 I can get, but we're still off about 7,000 or 8,000, aren't we?
We are. We're still looking at what would typically be called a bear market, but this is a sort of an interesting turnaround today because for the first time, we're seeing in the last few weeks anyway, the VIX, which is the measure of the volatility, come down off of its highs. And that's good because it makes people feel like we're starting to get a handle on what's happening. This may be an illusion, by the way.
Well, if we had a few of them in a row, and a week or two ago we did, we had 3 days where we traded up 1,000, 1,000, and 2,500 or so. We made almost 4,000 points, as I recall, in a sweep and then gave some of it back. It's been like that. Literally, lately, I don't know if you're this way, Elise, but if the market drops 900 points, I don't even pay any attention to it. And when it goes up 900 points, I try not to get my hopes up, right?
Well, I think that's right. I think the same is true for, you know, on the other side, on the health side, with the horrific number of people that we're seeing, yeah, on the Johns Hopkins coronavirus count. And once we passed 1 million, Now we're at 1.25 million. That's a lot of people, but I find myself a little inured to some of those daily jumps.
I find myself also just waiting for us to hit the peak and flatten the curve, as maybe they're doing in New York, as we might soon in Illinois. And I guess the reverse is true with the markets. I'm not even paying attention to the free fall until I get a feeling that we've bottomed out. Do you think we have? Do you think, are you hearing or reading that it's got potential to go much lower, say back below 20?
I think it's entirely possible that it could. So the whole idea with the peak is sort of interesting, because to most people, peak means there's a point, like a single day, and then everything comes down. You know, like when you're climbing a mountain and you come down. My concern about this peak is that it's more the flattening of the curve, and that means that we could be walking the ridge line, to continue that metaphor, for a while, where we're at that peak level for a while, and I don't know how long because I'm not an epidemiologist, but we could be there for a bit before we then start to come down. We can also have some false downward momentum, as we've seen in other countries, where it looks like it's coming down, then it goes back up, comes down. So I don't really know what the government means when it says peak, but I sure hope it means we're at the top.
I do suppose people are trading, or at least watching the market relative to the news and saying, okay, there's a chloroquine medicine that maybe is going to stem the tide. And so that flies off the shelves, and maybe the market reacts a little bit to that. But that may be a false signal too, right?
Well, I think so. I mean, if you think about what's moving the market today, you know, the Zoom CEO, everybody talks about having Zoom wine dates and all that. You know, he came out and said, wow, we really blew it for you. Our product has tons of security lapses, so we're going to take the next 3 months and fix it. And now they're trading a lot higher because of that. So I don't know that what we're getting are a lot of Band-Aids that companies are recognizing that they need to put on, and that's starting to help. But I do think we're going to, so for example, there are other things not going as well, like the Paycheck Protection Program went live this weekend. And I have to say, just based on, you know, what I've seen happen and what I've been hearing from people, it's not going so well. So, for example, first of all, the banks are only talking to their own customers first. Some of the biggest banks are prioritizing customers. They have a borrowing relationship first. And so Wells Fargo announced today that it's done at $10 million, but it could have done $350 billion. I'm sorry, $10 billion, not $350 billion. But they won't be doing any more of those. So anybody who's a Wells Fargo customer is going to start to make a whole lot of noise very quickly. Whereas Bank of America said, well, we've already done, you know, enough to do all of it. And yet there are all kinds of banks all over the place. So I think there's some sticking points with these different programs. And you're going to hear people start to have a lot of pain with them, including on the business side and the mortgage industry.
Is it that they don't have the staff to process these applications, to, you know, talk to the person that's trying to borrow the money? The money is there. So what's the sticking point?
There's not enough money there. So Bank of America alone could have used up the $350 billion. Wells Fargo could have used up the $350 billion.
I see.
And then you have every other bank that could use it all up, because there's that much need. So watch for that $350 billion number to be tripled or quadrupled in this week. In the mortgage industry, what they've promised is a disconnect with what has to happen. So basically, 62% of borrowers are backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and the new rules, as of last week, say you don't have to pay your mortgage for 90 days. Automatic forbearance. Unfortunately, the lenders still have to pay their end investors. There's no forbearance for them. So where they're going to come up with all that cash remains to be seen. It could be a real sticking point. And then the bond industry has frozen for more or less for commercial real estate loans, because the way they value property is to see who's paying their rent. And guess what? A whole lot of people have stopped doing that. So there's some sticking points and pain coming down the aisle. And I think that we're going to see the stock market react to that.
The idea was all along that these funds would come in batches, right? That nobody thought from the very beginning that the first sum of money that was made available to the banks would be the last sum, correct?
I think that's what everybody hoped.
I guess so. There was that conversation, but we have not heard that the Congress is actually doing that right now, have we?
We haven't. We haven't heard that they are approving any more money. There is talk about another fourth tranche of $1 trillion. I mean, this we're already at 3 or 4 times as much money that came through the whole recession and the Great Recession 11 years ago. So we've heard about another tranche. We've heard that there's some maybe infrastructure money that's going to come down the pike. I think it's a little bit unclear where that's going, but I do think that everybody's hoping that we're going to get back to work. Why President Trump keeps saying this, because the sooner he can reopen parts of the economy, the less money Congress has to authorize. But there's a lot of conflict around that.
President tweeted this morning, the light is at the end of the tunnel. Let's hope. CEO of Best Money Moves, Elise Glink. Thanks, Elise. Appreciate your time today.
You bet, John.
1242. This is WGN. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. Mayor Lightfoot and the McDonald's Corporation today announced a donation of 750,000 N95 masks to support healthcare professionals and first responders that'll help in the citywide response to the global pandemic. Chicago Inno says NOCD, a Chicago startup founded in 2015 that offers a telehealth app and provides one-on-one virtual therapy sessions between OCD patients and licensed therapists, has seen a big boom in business since the pandemic started. The CEO says the visits have more than doubled. And the Tribune says there could be 2 new marijuana dispensaries coming to the Chicago River North area. The state's approved Cresco Labs proposed store at 436 North Clark Street, and Mocha Modern Cannabis plans a shop at 216 West Ohio. No word on when they'll open. I'm Steve Bertrand. That's the Wintrust Business Minute.
Thank you for that, Steve Bertrand. Lauren Lapka's got a quick check of WGN Radio traffic.
Accident southbound on the tri-state, blocking the right lane at 47th. And Lakeshore Drive has reopened between Wacker and Grand. Bridge testing was supposed to keep it closed until 2:30, but they finished early. Lauren Lapka, WGN Traffic Central.
And latest on the markets, where are we now, Steve?
A lot of green. The Dow is up 1,227 points. That's about 5.8%. The NASDAQ up 422. And the S&P 500 up 143.
Heard from Orion a little while ago. Orion, what are you seeing?
Looking at a fairly green market sheet on the agricultural markets. First of all, let's check the grain market. The livestock market, the June lean hog contract is up $2 a hundredweight, but the April live cattle contract is down the $4.50 daily trading limit, and that puts the April cattle contract at $383.82 a hundredweight, and the April feeder cattle contract is up $2.90. And that puts it at $111.20. Checking the big story today that I want to share, because it involves a gentleman that many people in the agricultural community and in the trading community knew very well, an influential man in increasing the grain exports from the United States to countries around the world. Late in March, we lost Darwin Stolte. Age 86. He served as U.S. Grains Council President and Chief Executive Officer from 1970 to 1989. I knew Darwin well, interviewed him many times, and shared some foreign travels with him. But he was born in Chamberlain, South Dakota, went to South Dakota State University in 1956, graduated from that school. But in 1977, he participated in early discussions on agricultural trade with the Soviet Union, and he was a key figure in the opening of agricultural relations and trading with China in 1979. The loss of Darwin Stolte, 86 years old, of Prescott, Arizona. As we look at the impacts of the coronavirus on events and meetings again, because I'm still getting emails from many of you saying, did I hear you say correctly? Did you say the World Pork Expo in Des Moines, Iowa in June is canceled? Yes, I did say that. For the second year in a row, it was canceled last year because of the spread of African swine fever. and we didn't want hog producers from around the world coming into the United States, possibly with that disease. But this year, with the COVID-19 situation, they have again canceled the World Pork Expo. So if we can stay away from some of these in pandemics, it will be held June 9, 10, 11 of 2021. Speaking of closings, as we get closer to the county and state fair season, it's going to be an interesting question on how many county fairs and state fairs will be held or canceled because of the pandemic. County fairs struggle every year with the finances, and they regain those finances during the fair. But if you can't hold the fair on the county level or the state level, they could get some added pressure on their financial situation. That's Your Money on 720 WGN.
1250 WGN, the Wintrust Business Lunch. Good afternoon. This is John Williams. WGN Radio News comes your way in 10 minutes. WGN Radio Business Reporter Amy Guth is on the line. Hi, Amy.
Hey, John. How are you? Nice to talk with you.
Yeah, likewise. I'm well, and I trust you are, too.
I am. Thank you.
You know, I was thinking about health clubs the other day, and I wondered if they were going to maybe extend the terms of contracts for people because they're going to miss at least a month of time in the gym. And I noticed a story you were looking at, and is Allstate doing some sort of rebate or refund for its customers as well?
That's right. So Allstate has just announced a rebate for their customers. It's going to be about a 15% reduction in your premium. Rather than just take one big hit and reduce premiums all at once, they're going to do this as kind of a one-time rebate. It's going to total about $600 million all in, and of course, Allstate based here in Northbrook. There's another company too, American Family Insurance. They're going to do a similar thing. They will approach it as $50 per car, and that's going to start rolling out to Wisconsin residents in April, followed by other states. And really what this is kind of an acknowledgement that, hey, not many people are out on the roads right now because of stay-home orders, and so therefore there's not many claim payouts being submitted to insurance companies. So insurance companies stand to profit quite a bit during this time. So this is kind of an acknowledgement of that and passing a bit of that savings on to customers.
Wow. God bless them. I hadn't asked them to do that. They're going to rebate people's premiums.
That's right. I know. I think that's been the reaction from a lot of people on social media. I was looking at it earlier this morning, and a lot of people were like, well, didn't see that coming, but hey, I'll take what I can get right now. These are uncertain times.
Do they just discount your next payments, or are people actually going to get a check in the mail?
It appears it's going to be a discount on the next payment. This was just announced, so we're waiting to see. It also kind of, there's been a lot of competition between the different companies, so it remains to be seen what other insurance companies are going to do. I wouldn't be surprised if we heard from State Farm and other Allstate competitors pretty soon trying to do something similar just to stay competitive.
So they're going to take a hit themselves of, did you say $600
million? $600 million, that's what they're estimating the total rebate is going to cost them. American Family Insurance estimates that theirs will be $200 million. So not small change by any means.
Not to belabor the point, but the principle is we're all paying in, but they're always paying out. Since fewer of us are driving, we're getting in fewer crashes. Therefore, they're sitting on more cash than they would have otherwise had, which I wouldn't have blamed them if they didn't keep it for a rainy day, but they're rebating their customers. Boy, it would be nice to see that across the entire industry. Everybody get a discount. We could use one.
Indeed, it sure would. Another story I'm looking at today is, of course, airlines, another locally based company, United, saying they announced over the weekend through a note they sent out to workers that starting yesterday.
Wind the clock, it's time for the win.
Keep going, Amy.
They're cutting service to New York, specifically Newark, which is their big, big airport. That started yesterday about 90% down. So they normally do about 139 flights to Newark. They're cutting that down to 15, at least for the next 3 weeks. As for LaGuardia, they do 18 flights daily. They're cutting that down to 2. They said to the note to workers over the weekend, you know, this is a move to try to mitigate the spread in the tri-state area and also to protect workers, and that they'll be taking a look at other cities in the coming days and weeks. Of course, this is a story that's moving very fast and changing quite a bit day by day. So this is United's move to really respond to that. But they've also said, we don't want to cut that completely because we do feel an obligation to still send goods and people to the places where they need to get to so critically during this time. So they're not cutting them completely, but 90% is a big cut. This is a company with $43 billion in annual revenue, and just late last week, they asked for a federal grant to meet payroll through September 30th, saying we're not expecting to see any uptick until the fourth quarter returns. And an interesting number that I thought was really astonishing was they reported that last month COVID-19 cost them, this is just United, $10 million a day in service interruptions and reductions, which is really quite an astonishing number for a company, $43 billion company, $10 million a day, that adds up pretty fast.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't remember who the carrier was. You probably saw the video too. A woman had to or very much wanted to fly from Washington to Boston to see an ailing relative. I think it was her mother. She took a commercial flight. She was the only person on the airplane. She was the single passenger. They made a video out of it. And I suppose you could fly if you had to or really wanted to, though people might scratch their heads about that. The at-home beauty industry is doing well?
Yeah, it's an interesting bright spot. I think when you think about it, it makes perfect sense because the salon and the cosmetics and personal care industry, that's an $85 billion industry, and it's largely propped up by barber chair visits, hair treatments, colors, cuts, manicures, pedicures, waxing, threading, all those kind of things that you go to a salon to get. So suddenly, that industry is booming. Things like nail polish, cotton balls, nail polish remover, hair dye for at-home use, things like that are up in pretty significant numbers. The CEO of Ulta, Mary Billen, said that on a conference call last week, she said, we are operating in holiday mode. And you imagine how any retailer is doing in holiday time. Their e-commerce is really booming because of people that can't get to salons, can't do those personal care kind of things, are resorting to kind of DIY. Who knows how we're all going to look when we emerge with, you know, DIY haircuts, right? But that's an interesting bright spot. Now, there was some survey data included in this reporting from Morning Consult, and their polling indicated that with unemployment numbers expected to go up an additional 12% to 15% in coming weeks, we'll see if this holds. It seems like those are things you might deprioritize if you're taking a financial hit in your household. But nonetheless, people really felt like, hey, this is a thing I need to do. I want to keep some sense of normalcy. And Bloomberg had talked to a lot of people and interviewed a lot of people that were moving to DIY. And it seems like that was a move that a lot of people are doing to try to keep a sense of normalcy. But nonetheless, that's a sector of industry that's still doing quite well, despite what we've seen in a lot of other industries right now.
You wonder when this thing hit, if some industries knew, some companies knew, oh my God, we're doomed, or oh my God, this is an opportunity. And I wonder if the people at Ulta, when they saw this thing come, thought, wow, this is an opportunity for us.
I'm sure they did. There's been some hair care professionals and things like that have taken their business online and said, hey, if you want me to talk you through it, I'll join you on Zoom. I can help troubleshoot, things like that. Even some making videos and going to social media to say, hey, if you're doing this, be sure to do this step for a good result. And so I think a lot of people are really examining their business model and trying to make it all work right now.
Amy Guth, WGN Radio Business Reporter. Thanks for your time, Amy.